And our second speaker, I would like to introduce to you is Scott N. from the Simple Solutions Group of NA.
That's my kid. That wasn't a weird thing. So, just to preface everything, I'm an addict. My name is Scott. That would have been strange. I just kissed a random baby. So, thank you, Jillian. Really cool. I heard like four words because I was freaking out in the back corner. But so Tuesday, I went to a meeting. I work out of town and had some time at home and went to a meeting Tuesday, and one of my good friends asked me to speak, and when she gave me the topic, I was like really excited about it, because there's so much, and I can't be wrong. There's no such thing as, like, you talk about a God of our understanding. One of the things, and I'm the same as Jillian, like my process has changed so much since I came into the rooms, and it reminded me of like my journey through step 1, 2, and 3 in early recovery. I've been clean and free since October 24th of 2012. Wasn't my first clean date. I bounced in and out of the rooms in this area for a while, but when I decided to stay clean, I got a sponsor, and he took me through the first couple steps, and then I realized he wasn't the man that I really wanted to sponsor me. So I worked back through 2 and 3 with a gentleman that I love and really respect today. But one of the first things he taught me was that you better get a God before you need a God, right? And so in our literature, it talks about how once we get through step 1, we're left with this vacuum. And my journey through 2 and 3 is what really helped me fill that vacuum, because there's like a billion questions in step 1 in the step working guide, and it like is so thorough in looking back on it, and with a different set of eyes, like it, my answers are a lot different. But going through 2 and 3, like when I started working those steps, and obviously 2 first, building into 3, I went into developing a God of my understanding with roadblocks. I wanted to know why. I truly did not believe there was a God at that point in time. There's some things that have happened in my life that a couple of different car accidents where I've lost people close to me that really changed my way of beliefs, and I didn't believe. So my higher power, and I'll say God a lot just because I'm lazy and it's quicker than saying higher power. I don't have a dogmatic deity that I pray to, and thankfully in this process that's okay. I grew up Catholic, and just not what I believe today. Right, wrong, or indifferent, if that's what you believe. I'm not here to offend anybody. I was asked to share my experience on this. And that's the other thing about a beautiful place like this, is we get so much experience from people. In the smaller area we're from, and some of the meetings and the speckled amounts of clean time, you get a lot of opinions. At places like this, you get experience. And it's groundbreaking to me. There's always something earth-shattering that I hear at this retreat, and it might be super simple, and it might be in a conversation walking from one meeting to the next, or it might be from one of the main speakers. But going through this process, I came in with a lot of roadblocks, like there is no God because of this, there is no God because of that. My higher power is love. A lot of people say, like, if you can have acronyms for it, you can do whatever you want, use the rooms as your higher power. I was taught there's only 3 suggestions. It has to be loving, caring, and a power greater than myself. And mine checks all 3 boxes. Now, when I got clean, it was not hard to find a power greater than myself. I was battered and broken. And similar to how I chose a sponsor, I chose a higher power that was loving and caring. Now, with the perspective that I had when I got clean, and looking at all these obstacles and looking at all these roadblocks, when I would look at the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I would look at the people who were promiscuous. I would look at the people who were selling dope in the rooms. I would look at the sick things that go on with people with various amounts of clean time. And I was looking at the negative. And what this man helped me do was change my perspective. I wasn't looking at love. I wasn't necessarily looking at hate. I was looking at the absence of love or the absence of God. So what it helped me do through my process of 2 and 3 was understand how to flip my perspective and look at the love in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Look at the people who keep coming back. Look at the people who stay clean and get through things. I would hear people talk about their version of God, and I would judge them based on like the context of it and those things. And then I would see somebody go through something that is gut-wrenching. I've seen people lose parents in here. I've watched my friend bury his brother. I've seen friends lose their children and stay clean through all of it. And to me, that helped me open my eyes to the belief that whatever your God is, like whatever you believe in, just please believe in something. And it comes back to that get a God before you need a God thing. I truly believe like my God has walked me through my process even before I got clean. Cop and dope in Kensington and places that a guy like me should never be. Really, nobody should be. It's a toxic environment. There's a lot of absence of God there. But I believe that like to get me to where I am today, there had to be a power greater than myself that was loving and caring, that was guiding me through this process. There's no doubt in my brain. So when I look back through my process of getting and staying clean and working these first three steps, it's easy for me to see that there is a power greater than myself working in my life. Now, I like I said, I had a lot of roadblocks going in. But when you thoroughly work these steps, there's barriers that get broken down through intimate relationships like I have with my sponsor. When I work these steps, and that's the value in the spiritual principles. Like Jillian said, the spiritual principles are never in conflict. So as I learn about them and build and understand how one compounds into the next, or they're independent of each other, it helps me understand. I like to overcomplicate things too. And this topic can be extremely simple or extremely complicated for me. I choose the simple route today just because it's easy for me to see how a power greater than myself is working in my life. Anytime I question the presence of a God, I look at my 5-month-old son, and that's immediately shattered. Like it might be late nights and things like that, and he's keeping you up and you're tired. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, he just gets this big smile and like everything is washed away. All of that frustration, all of that, well, I need to sleep because I have to get up in an hour, whatever the case may be. I realize that my higher power, which is love, is acting in my life on a daily basis every time that little thing takes a breath. And it's an amazing feeling. But the journey is something that continues for me today. And like when I started, even through like the wisdom that this man shared with me on 2 and 3, I thought in my head that I was atheist. I thought that I was an atheist. And I started to look more into that and really break it down. And I realized that I'm the exact opposite of that. It's not that I didn't believe in the God that I grew up with, but I also didn't believe there was no God. What I believe is that everything is right. The flexibility through that, like, my journey through 2 and 3 took me outside of Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor, and I've worked it a couple times with a couple different guys changing sponsors. One of them suggested that I go experience or learn about other religions. And I did that in some form or fashion. I talked to some people that grew up in different religions. I read a lot about some Eastern religions. And I don't align with any particular one, but through that process I come to understand that I feel everybody is right. It's not for me to tell anybody that their God is wrong, or again, it's that love, that acceptance that I've learned here in Narcotics Anonymous, that it's not for me to tell you your God is wrong. Like I can't pray the wrong way. I haven't really hit my knees to pray in a long time. I pray differently than some people. There are times I hit my knees. early on in my child's life, we had to take him to Children's Hospital for something, and that was one of the times, and people can call it jackpot or foxhole prayers, but when I'm in that spot, I don't care what you call it. When it's about my kid, it's bigger than me at that point in time. I heard early on at times that God doesn't give you anything you can't handle and some of those things, and I think differently than that. Not that that's wrong if that's what you think, but I truly believe that my God gives me more than I can handle, so I have to ask for help. I have to hit my knees sometimes. I have to stop and say, because if I'm continually faced with obstacles that I can fix or solve or avoid on my own, I get more into that self-will than God's will. And sometimes they do align, sometimes they don't align. But I honestly believe, like, you ever been standing in a rainstorm and you're like, this is going to slow down, like you have no way to get out of it, and it just starts coming harder and harder and harder. I've done this recently at work. I was standing out there and we had a bunch of important things going on, and I was like, all right, this has got to let up soon. And then it just comes harder. And it's steady for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I just started laughing. And guys are like, what are you laughing about? And I was like, you know, I really, that's like a microcosm of my life. Like when things are being like slammed on me, I'm like, what next? And then something else hits. So I've learned to just shut up and quit asking what next. You roll with the punches. And I need Narcotics Anonymous. I need the experience of members. I need you people. I need the hugs some days. It's really all it was. Like when I came into the rooms, the hugs made me uncomfortable. The drug that I chose that took me to the end of my road was not a social drug. I was in my parents' basement doing what I did for a long time and like avoiding daylight. So when I came in, it made me uncomfortable to get a hug. But as I bounced in and out and didn't have the commitment and the willingness and the open-mindedness and the honesty to stay in this program, I started to crave those hugs. That's the only thing I wanted. Some days as I pushed the plunger down, I would cry and understand, like, all I wanted was a hug from somebody in NA to tell me that it was going to be okay. And that's why when I got clean and moved to Pittsburgh, I chose a home group that has a hug line that's sometimes 40 people long. And people avoid the meeting because they dislike it. Like, oh, there's too much time spent there. And what I was taught and what I heard early on is, like, that hug can sometimes be a flickering spirit. Your flickering spirit can connect with somebody else. And not one of those, like, one-arm, like, and that's fine, but, like, there's genuine love in that home group with people that you connect with, and you see them coming back, or you see the pain in their eyes. And you just get like a genuine hard hug, and somebody says, welcome home, or I love you, or I'm proud of you, or something like that. Like these 7-cent key tags that we get for 30, 60, 90 days, whatever they cost these days, like that's significant to us. Like at 30 days, 60 days, 90 days clean, it's the symbol of what that means. Like in society, congratulations, you didn't stick a needle in your arm for 30 days, or you didn't smoke crack for 30 days, whatever the case may be. For us, we know how hard that is. And for me, I understand, like, that has to be the grace and mercy of a power greater than myself and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Those are the only two things that allow me to stay there. Because if it were for me, like Jillian said, if I got what I wanted or what I thought I deserved, I wouldn't be here. I make no mistake in that. Because I didn't think, and some days I don't think in this process that I deserve everything I have. I don't deserve a loving family. You know, I'm an addict. I suffer from low self-esteem and low self-worth. That's my disease attacking me at all periods and points in time. And it takes an active program of Narcotics Anonymous to combat that disease. You know, I've also been taught that I've got this disease in my brain that screams, and I've got a solution in my heart that whispers. And it's only through Narcotics Anonymous can I quiet that screaming in my brain and listen to what's in my heart. And what's in my heart is love. It's natural for me. Like, I'm an empathetic person. There was somebody crying in a meeting the other night, and I started to tear up. And like my pride as a man and my ego and things sort of pushed that aside. But and I was emotional when I was using, but I'm so much more emotional today. I cry listening to music all the time. Every Sunday when I drive back to work, I work 4 hours from my home. The first hour of my drive is very teary. And then I'll like get it together and start to drive, and then I hear another song and it's about love or my family, or there's this one particular artist who wrote a whole album to his son, and it's like 45 minutes of straight, like, not bawling, but like tears, because one, I miss him and I love him, I love my family and I'll miss them, but at the same time it's like I can feel that today. I feel like deep in my heart the love that I have for them, and I never felt that using. Like nobody ever said I love you when I'm shooting heroin. My parents did, but I didn't want to hear it. I just wanted them to go to sleep so I could steal off them. You know, the journey of finding a power greater than myself, and it's funny that, you know, the retreat's called The Journey Continues, and that's a kind of symbolic for me because this is an ongoing process. I haven't found the God of my understanding. It's a very expansive thing for me. My brain continues to process different things that different people have as a God of their understanding. As I learn about it, I learn to respect that and might take a little sample from here and take a little sample from there. But it's truly like some days I just look up at the magic of the world, the universe. You know, one of my good friends always talks about, like, we're all just stardust. You know, and I truly believe that. Like, whatever religion you believe in, just believe in something. You know, like I said, the beauty of the process is my understanding when I came in about a higher power or God was so narrow. It was so dogmatic, and like I said, now, like, it's expansive. I truly believe in everything. I really would like to thank the committee for asking me to speak. Thankfully, it's early, so I can enjoy the rest of the day. I love this retreat. It's one of my favorites, and has some symbolism in my recovery and in my journey, staying clean and finding a higher power. It's just fun watching, like, people grow in this process, including myself. You know, sometimes I don't recognize the growth until I see it in other people, or somebody will come to me for advice, and I'm like, you're really asking me? And then I sit back and we talk through something, and I learn something and they learn something. That's my God working in my life. Like I said, I don't have, like, a picture. When I pray, I don't have, like, a picture of a particular thing that my God is, but I do know that my God works through people. So when I asked for things, like early in recovery, I was praying for things, and what I got was an opportunity for, you know, when I prayed for, like, peace or whatever, I got the opportunity to practice peace. I failed a lot of times, usually driving, and some of those things, like, there's some symbolism behind it, but I started to learn how to understand and respect the power of prayer at that point, because I don't pray for insignificant things. Like, you know, I meditate a lot, sometimes moving. There's different forms of it for me, but, like, somewhere after I get done crying and get on the turnpike and start driving east, I get into, like, some deep thought, and to me that's meditation. The prayer ahead of that is just, like, thoughts about the people that I love, and I hope this person's good, and you know, we've got this coming up within our family, with my extended family, with my NA family. Like, how can I be there to help them? How can I be of service to the program that saved my life? And the only reason any of that is happening is because of a power greater than myself. Even clean, but without a program, I'm a very selfish person. With a program, I can be a very selfish person, but as I'm learning about these spiritual principles, I get further from self-centered and closer to God-centered. You know, so the power that happens at this retreat is something that I can't mistake. Like, a couple years ago, we were driving up here last night and saw this big full moon. It was gorgeous. And I remember sitting up on the in the field a couple years ago, sitting with a friend who was going through a really tough time, and we could hear the Friday night opening speaker going on, and everybody was laughing and stuff, and we were both bawling. And they weren't happy tears. Like, it wasn't like, I'm so happy to see you. I was grieving the loss of a pet that he helped me through, and he was grieving the loss of a relationship that, cool thing to see how this process works. They just got engaged, so you never know how things work out. Obviously, my pet didn't come back, but that would be weird. But I've learned, like, how that love can process, and I have another dog now that is, like, even more loving and caring than any pet I've ever seen in my life. Like, he knows when we're hurting, and he's somebody, he's like one of us, man. He was abused, he's a rescue, and probably the most loving animal I've ever seen in my life. All those things, like, that's the easiest way for me to identify love and a higher power, is to look at something like that. Unconditional love. We get it here. But I'm starting to ramble and talk about pets and all kinds of stuff. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm an addict. My name is Scott. I'm going to keep coming back.